I think honestly, people just enjoy having some variety. A ton of your guests aren't going to come every day regardless. And now you just have guests that are like frequenting other places in the city and they still come to Valor. Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Valor Coffee Podcast. My name's Ethan. Sat down with my good buddies, Ross and Riley, and we talked about a really fun aspect of owning a business, competition, what we think about competition, who do we view as competition? Is it even in our heads? Are we thinking about it? What do we think about it? So it was a good conversation. We also got to taste some really nice coffee sent to us by Plot Coffee in South London, a white honey geisha. Stay tuned for the review at the end. And as always, guys, the podcast is brought to you by Clive Coffee. If you use code VALOR5 at checkout on Clive for Eureka and Luca grinders, you get a little 5% off. Goes a long way in the coffee gear department. There's a link below to get you over to Clive Coffee and elevate that home setup, elevate that coffee bar setup. As always, thank you guys for your support. Always a huge blessing to like, subscribe, review, you name it. Goes a long way. Hope you enjoy the show. Peace.
Welcome to the Valor Coffee Podcast. I am host, Riley Westbrook.
Joined, that's right.
Joined by my co-hosts.
Okay.
Ross Walters and Ethan Rivers.
Can I be sub-host?
We did name you as host.
Host and name only.
Honor. It's an honorary title.
It's a high no situation.
Yeah, totally.
More of a, like, you know, not that you're like better than us. Like, no one thinks that. Like,
no.
Especially no one listening would think that.
No.
You have more skills than us. Yeah, you're smarter than us.
Yeah. Move us along, you know, all that.
This tastes like something like basil. I had basil note was my first sip.
I believe it's basil.
I couldn't get pasta out of my head when I was brewing this up. So
yep, pasta?
Because the basil. I was like, well, at first I thought lemongrass, but I was like, that's kind of a burn because isn't that usually like a defect? Like a lack of inner being development? Not defect, but maybe. Like flaw.
We'll have to see as it develops out.
Yeah, Valor's gone geisha.
We've gone geisha. Plot.
This is from Jamie Rose.
Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie. From across the pond.
Out in the UK.
Nice.
Thank you, Jamie. All this way, and you didn't hold back with the coffees you sent. They're really beautiful.
When we opened up this package and we saw this,
this is serious.
Yeah, we were impressed.
It sends a message.
We like this, and heck, Jamie, we're going to copy this. We're going to copy that. We need that in our boxes.
I think we give out enough information to copy someone else every once in a while.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, so if there's anything else anyone wants to give us out there, bring it on.
Let us know. Hey, just a reminder, we are going to be at SCA. We're like in 2 weeks. 2 weeks in
I'm
one
not
day.
Ready.
We're going to be hopping on a plane.
Actually, I haven't unpacked from the wedding we all went to.
Are you Jeez. Being serious?
I know. I'm really not that guy.
You must have a lot of clothes.
I only brought like two sets of clothes.
Okay, that's the other side of that.
Bro, why haven't you unpacked?
Dude, I have a lot going on right now, okay?
You want to break that down?
Yeah, no. Life's awesome, all right? It's a blessing.
That's funny.
But SCA.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah, I'll probably pack like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just get ahead of it.
You don't want any of your like favorite shirts to get stained from now until then.
I'm going to bring all my favorite shirts to SCA.
Oh, snap, dude. We have to have a break in the program so I can switch into my... my shirt we got gifted.
Oh, yeah.
So.
We'll make sure to do that. But anyways, back to SCA. We are going to be there. Where I want to have some sort of formal meetup.
Yeah.
And we are going to have that. A lot of you have emailed us because we told you to and you listened. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will respond to all of those emails whenever we know exactly what we're doing. So if you want to be on that list, then also come along and send us an email. Our next podcast, by then we'll say officially what we're doing.
Yep. Email us at info@valor.coffee. And I know at the very least, we do have a time slot at Third Wave Waters booth where our coffee is going to be showcased and we're going to be brewing it. I believe we're brewing it. It's like a full guest situation.
And we know what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's something with third wave water, and I know when to be there. And I know to bring coffee.
There are some fun brewers that are going to be present. I don't even think we can talk about all of it.
There's some proprietary brewer.
So if you want to have your mind blown, come on by.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have to dial that thing in.
Yeah. I don't even know what we're talking about.
It's going to be awesome.
Was that our only thing?
Well, we can't tell you. We signed an NDA.
Yeah.
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 Because they knew I'm kind of a loose-lipped.
You're a loudmouth. You are the loudmouth of the group.
I am loose-lipped. I can't really keep a secret, so don't tell
loose
me.
Loose-lipped is better than loudmouth. That's true.
Yeah, I'm not a loudmouth.
No.
Hey, guys, this is all cutesy, but the people out there, they want content. They want to know what's on our minds. So, Ross, take us away, man.
Thank you, host.
I thought I was the host. Weird.
Ethan, you're still getting used to this.
I think I'm going to try to, like,
undermine me.
Yeah, undermine your authority.
Okay.
What else is new? Okay. So we have a question from Darby out in Oregon, Central Oregon. She owns a coffee shop called Golden Coffee.
Great name.
Yeah, it really is a great name. She says that she was recently introduced to our podcast, pretty much binging it ever since. Anyway, I've opened my shop for about a year and a half. Your cafe viability spreadsheet is so interesting to me, and I got to plug in all my numbers from last year and got so much good info. Good. That's awesome.
Thanks, Darby.
If you have not checked out our cafe viability spreadsheet, you can do that.
Make sure to read the landing page. I do want to say that really quickly.
Yep.
We've had a few emails recently. Not this one. Mm-hmm. Some other ones that have been like, I can't edit the cells. Mm-hmm. If you look at the first page, it gives you instructions in the first few lines of exactly how you can edit the cells.
Yep. You just need to duplicate it.
So gracious.
Make your own. Or else we'd all be seeing your numbers. Anyways, so we aren't a super high volume cafe yet. We do about 91 transactions per day with a $7.30 average. Thanks for the transparency. All this to say, here's my question. Our shop is in a town of 11,000 people. Do you think it's possible to keep growing in a small town? Or do you think general population has a lot to do with it? We do have surrounding towns about 30 to 45 minutes away with populations ranging from 35 to 100K. We've seen a lot of growth in this last year and definitely want to keep it going. We're the only specialty coffee shop in our town, so we kind of have a monopoly on that currently, but curious on your take for location / local population size and becoming a more high volume cafe.
Yeah. Dude, 11,000 people. I was like 91. What percent is that of 11,000? Because that's your reach every day.
Well,
I know you can get all like, well, how many of those people? What's your general pool?
It's like 1%, right? Less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you can grow, right?
Yeah.
I mean, specialty coffee is niche, but it's not like 1% niche.
I just, mine instantly goes to like, what's a comparable town in our area to that population?
Jasper?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like Dawson County has 40,000 people now.
Yeah, if the question is like more locations, or if it's just how can we become a more high volume cafe, then I would agree that you should make specialty coffee as approachable and palatable as possible, and not get too niche-y. But just instead
how
of
could you, Ross? Have you not seen our Instagram comments on our syrup reel?
Yeah.
Like, that's not specialty coffee.
Right. I'm sorry. But honestly, I think back to when we were in the cart, the pop-up, and we earned those customers. We did.
Will we be seeing you again tomorrow, sir?
Yeah, we did a gentleman's agreement with everyone. Like, hey, you're coming back tomorrow, right?
Please.
Not really. But I do think that hospitality, human connection is really the best way to build regulars. That absolutely has to be matched with a really awesome, consistent product. Mm. But I think that And this is a good Q&A for today's topic, because we'll talk about competition with other cafes and location and all that. But I really do think that the connections that we have made in the cafes and our team has made in the cafes over the years have got us to where we are, you know, and I would say to focus really highly on that. And I also go to like before, whenever we're thinking about doing something with marketing or with ads or with sales or whatever kind of outreach, like we're trying to grow our current reach, I always look inward first to see if our product can be improved.
Mm.
Are there ways that we can just make the experience better? Are we really firing on all cylinders internally so that we can attract more people just by doing what we're already doing and already doing really well?
Yeah, I agree. I think there is a little bit of wiggle room to go into the direction of smaller scoped marketing if you're in a town that's that small. Like, how are you know, we get donation requests constantly from various schools and whatnot, but maybe that is an avenue if you're having trouble. If not all 11,000 people know who you are,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, sponsoring a breakfast for the PTO could do something. Mm. Like, it's kind of funny in small towns like that, like those sort of are the influencers, like the moms of kids.
Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a direction you could head in. And then what are you doing to entice people to come for the first time? Is their drink 50% off? Or, you know, whenever they come for the first time, if you want to be repeat, maybe the second time they come, their drink is 50% off, whatever. Just like throwing out some things like that. I know whenever we started, especially when we didn't have any money, we were very reluctant to take less money whenever we didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably something we could have done a lot better at that point to build retention of our customers.
Yeah, we were very anti-discount. I feel like at the top, it was like nobody got a discount. It was like you're here and you got to pay.
Yeah, you will pay.
You're going to pay. But I really like the dichotomy of the internal assessment and like the external marketing assessment. How much reach do you have? Because especially getting into talking about like competition later, you know, you're probably not going to be the only one for long, right?
Yeah.
And so you can like rely on just like passive, like, hey, we're the only nice coffee shop around, so people have to come. Or it's like, I feel like especially in specialty coffee, we don't use this kind of lingo a lot, but what you were saying about the cart was legit. How are we winning people? How are we earning their business, basically? Are we worth them coming to multiple times? Are we even so worth them telling other people about this experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what's so cool is that when you are currently not super high volume, there's so much bandwidth to really blow people's minds.
Yep.
That is the most fun, like flip the script about when it's slow. It's like, oh, we have nothing to do. We're like, we need more business. It's like, dude, just steward what you got. Really like love on the people that are there and like build connections and relationships and go above and beyond. Because if you steward that, there will be more, because that there's just like a ripple effect to that business model. And oh man, that got me hype. Think about the cart.
Yeah.
Even like some slower days when Dunwoody's getting started now in the winter, I'm like, man, I'm not just going to sit back and relax when it's mellow. I'm like, I got to go make sure everybody's having the best day of their life.
Go talk to someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Ethan. What's your name?
I like it. All right. Well, you want to change shirts real quick? I'm going to come right back.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here's a topic near and dear to our hearts, right? Let's say you are opening a cafe, or you have a cafe, and there is another coffee shop down the street where you're thinking about opening, or you have a cafe and someone's opening a coffee shop down the street. So like, what we're getting at here is competition.
Yep.
Competition.
Should you care? I don't know.
Dude, it's nuanced.
I'm the host. You guys are my panel. I'm trying to figure
should
out.
Should you care? Yes or no?
Slightly.
Well, we can always, as usual, just start with our story.
No.
And over the years of how we've thought about this, and not just thought about it, but made real decisions based off of those thoughts. When we opened in downtown Alpharetta with the cart, in case anybody doesn't know our story, we started off as a mobile cart, but we got the opportunity to basically just park that cart in a co-working space.
And every that was cart's our dream.
Yeah, that was like our first location, in air quotes. And there was only one other place in downtown Alpharetta. We're in kind of like a concentrated up and coming downtown area, suburban kind of thing.
Tens of thousands of people.
And there was only one other shop that had an espresso machine. They served coffee that was darker than ours. I think you could still say it was specialty, but you know, just different style. They also, they're still open and they have a thriving business as far as I can tell. And they serve lunch. They have a big emphasis on lunch. So we were like, okay, they're different than us. Mm-hmm. You know, even though they definitely have some regulars in the morning that are going and getting lattes, that we are like basically trying to steal their customers, like, or like take a share of them.
Just give us some.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have some, just give us some.
We just made sense of it. Like they're different enough from us because we're niching down to coffee. Mm-hmm. And they have a broader menu. So then we opened our full cafe and we're like really focusing on specialty coffee, you know, and at that time we were roasting our own coffee and this other cafe was not roasting and still is not roasting their own coffee. So that was another thing that was different. And in the process of doing that, there would inevitably, and if you work behind a bar somewhere, I'm sure you've had these conversations with regulars or people in your life where they're like, hey, did you hear about the new shop opening up down the road? Like, you guys nervous about the competition? Go. Or like, hey, Starbucks across the street, you know, the corporate Starbucks, you know, like screw them, right? Like their competition. And what we would always think in that moment and feel is just like, we don't care. Like at all. And I think that we have had that same thought for years and years, but never really sat down to like analyze why we don't care. And maybe why we should care or why one should care. And in what scenarios would that be the case? I think one reason, maybe we could all go around and just briefly say, sorry to be the host. Is that it's okay, Riley? Like why, you know, do you guys remember having these conversations?
Oh yeah.
And you said something like, yeah, laughing, haha, social stuff. But you're thinking like, that doesn't really matter to me. So like, why didn't it matter to you when you saw more cafes opening or you think about even Starbucks? It's like totally in walking distance. It's not in downtown, but they, you know, they've had a cafe basically across the highway.
I could talk first. I'll say the words. The words I will say are the following. So much of it's just like data, you know, like we can just talk about our feelings all day, but I feel like it really would come down to, are there enough people that are interested in enough different things that can support all these businesses? And that's probably why counties or cities or states have laws on like zoning, right? You wouldn't want to have like a street with six similar shops all next to each other. So just shout out to the government real quick.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Thank you so much.
But, I mean, that's how I felt about most things opening up in like Alpharetta. Can we just say names? Cause we're not like dogging anybody.
Sure.
I mean, all it's going to do is get more eyes on their brand.
Right. So like the breakfast place was called, Nest. And I don't think there's been like any bad blood. It was just like, hey, we're opening down the block. You guys do a lot of food. We don't do anything.
They let us borrow some lids one time.
Yeah, we'll share. That's what's fun too. I like the little camaraderie. If someone's got to come in, a little hang, head hanging low. They're like, do you guys have any hot lids? And like, yeah. We got you, bro. Oh yeah. And I even remember when the breakfast, other breakfast place, Never Enough Time opened around the corner. There was like, oh, there's another place.
They served Revelator.
They were going to serve Revelator.
Yeah.
And I will be honest. I think I always have like initial, at least then I remember initial like fear of like, uh-oh. You know, can Alpharetta handle it? Are there enough coffee goer outers for everyone to like continue the higher tides lift all boats model? And then the like probably the closest like true to form specialty coffee shop, Warm Waves, opened around like another block. And you know, you don't know how it's going to be if it didn't happen, but it's like, we'd never like lost a lot of business through all of this. And I don't think they have either. I think honestly, what you've probably seen is that people just enjoy having some variety, because you're not going to, a ton of your guests aren't going to come every day regardless. And now you just have guests that are like going, frequenting other places in the city more. You know, and they still come to Valor. And I think you're just going to, it's kind of like a bell curve. You're still going to have like people on either side. They're like Valor purists. Like, oh, I'll never go to War. Screw Warm Waves. And I'm like, whoa, hey. And then there's other people that are like, I'm never going to Valor again. Warm Waves or Nescafe is my spot. And I'm like,
so hey. The competition lies within the guests more than it does within the, you know, us.
But there's so few of those people.
Yeah.
There's so few people that are like completely loyal to one place. Like when you think about your entire range of customers, my thing was like, the more businesses that open up in Alpharetta and in Dunwoody, our second location, is I just want people to have reasons to come to town.
Yeah.
And I want them to be looking at our big sign and be like, oh yeah, Valor. So that next time, even if they're not coming to our store that time, next time they come to downtown Alpharetta, or next time they're like, oh, I want coffee, they're going to think about us.
Yeah, I think the more coffee shops open in an area, the more other businesses are going to open in an area. We've kind of seen that play out over and over and over again. Mm. So it just, if anything, I think it's just a sign that that place, that building, whatever, is about to get more things for people to do. So more people are going to come to the area. Mm-hmm. So it would be different if the population, if the foot traffic was staying exactly the same, but it's a constantly growing area. So I'm never worried about us doing this. Like, all we've seen since X place has opened up has been this within our own business. So,
yeah. And then looking at our second location, we opened in the same parking lot as a Starbucks. Like, it's not just on the same side of the street. It's not just, you know, like in the same city. It's like in the same parking lot.
You walk out the door and you're like, there it is.
It's right there. And transparently, I like Starbucks's taste in real estate.
Yeah.
Like, they know more about that than I do.
Got a lot more money for market research.
Yeah. So take that for what it is. But, honestly, I feel like all that we are to most people is a Starbucks alternative. It's nicer drinks. It's locally owned. The people are nicer. The space is not Starbucks vibe. You know, like, we're like the neighborhood coffee shop to contrast with the corporate coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with that. Like, you know, I don't have to get on my specialty coffee high horse and be like, that's all we are to these people. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, this is kind of what we were talking about last episode of like, of having, you know, Starbucks has the caramel macchiato. Wake so up, people. Good. And we have a caramel cardamom latte. So like, we, you know, we take that idea and we raise it We elevate
it. We raise you a cardamom.
Raise you cardamom.
We're putting espresso in the cup first.
Yeah.
All right.
But my thought on Starbucks is that people don't go to Starbucks to get coffee. They go to Starbucks to get Starbucks. There's a difference.
Hmm.
Like if people are thinking, I want some coffee this morning, they're going to just look up like coffee shops. But people go to Starbucks for Starbucks, for like everything that surrounds Starbucks. And so just by being different than the biggest cat in town, which is always Starbucks, you differentiate yourself in that way.
Yeah, there's a humbling aspect to that as well, which I think a lot of times people, I might even be like, we are nothing like Starbucks. So all of our guests would never go to Starbucks. Totally different clientele. Like I'm not even, they're not even on the, they're like a drink hut. Okay. But then you have guests that are like literally in Dumbo. Yeah. The drive through line was too long. So came here. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
But
hey, then back to our Q&A segment. How are we going to retain that?
Right. Yes.
Well, you ask them if they're going to come back.
Mobile ordering. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's what the rising tide lifts all boats means, is that in Alpharetta, like as more and more places have opened, and in Dunwoody, as more and more places are opening, it's just another fuel to the fire of like, let's be great. Like we are not comparing. We're not trying to be better than anyone. We're just trying to like look inward and be as great as we possibly can. And that's going to make other people great too.
Yeah. How about this aspect of someone comes in on the weekend and you're like, what did you do yesterday? And they were like, I was in Atlanta and I got coffee at Bellwood. I'm sorry. Yeah. And we're like, we don't care. Yeah. Great. I got coffee at Bellwood yesterday too.
Or like when we see our regulars at other coffee shops and they're like, don't look at me. I'm sorry.
But we're it's like 20 miles away from our cafe.
Yeah.
So that is a really funny one. It's like, especially let's take like Meadowlark in Gainesville. If anyone ever tried to pin like Meadowlark as a competitor cafe to Valor, I would just be like, what percentage of our guests overlap? It is extremely small. Mm-hmm. And cafes are so extremely hyper local. And the bigger city you're in, it's like obviously the more cafes per capita you can have. But with us, it's like, you know, if we're not competing with any other cafe in, you know, like Alfred is not competing with a cafe in Dunwoody. Dunwoody's not competing with a cafe in Sandy Springs. It's just there's so many people. And I understand that like the smaller city you're in, the less people there are to go around. Mm-hmm. So maybe with that one, it's like you can go further miles and there's still a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
My question is, how many of your customers have ever heard the term specialty coffee or third wave coffee? Because it's probably not that much. And if you think that like a cafe, like take Meadowlark, for example, they are a OTP outside the perimeter in Atlanta. We're a big deal about the perimeter. There's a highway that goes around the city. We're outside the perimeter. Another OTP specialty coffee shop like Meadowlark opens, you know, like there are some people that are thinking in their brains, I want a cup of specialty coffee today. Am I going to go to Valor or Meadowlark? And then they have a certain criteria by which they decide which one they go to.
My thought was that specifically for Meadowlark, the main people in that criteria are us, JP, and the staff of both Valor and Meadowlark.
Yeah. <They're> like, dude, and I think when we first started, that was a little bit more of our mentality of like, we're going to open a specialty coffee shop, wait for it, in the suburbs. And it's going to be so hard. And we're going to be like paving the way. We're going to be doing the work, spreading the gospel of specialty coffee to all of these normies that don't know anything about bright, fruity coffee. And we're going to do it with empathy and kindness. And it's like, dude,
raise your geisha,
dude, you're just a coffee shop. Like, it, yes, do your specialty coffee thing, have a brand identity, like position yourself towards sustainability, which is part of sourcing specialty coffee and paying good prices, brew it to the best of your ability, do latte art, wear your apron, everything. Yes. But like most of your guests and your regulars, they're just going to think you're a neighborhood coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
So what, like look around your area and just think less of like, can all of these basic normie people support my specialty coffee shop? Don't think that. Think of it more of just like, we're going to source coffees to the best of our ability. We're going to pour latte art. We're going to have a La Marzocco, all the things, have cactuses everywhere. It's great. But people are just going to think of you as a neighborhood coffee shop. So when I think of like a place like Metal Art competing with us, that's not a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back on what we were talking about, answering Darby's question about the internal eyes, because I'm sure we felt that a lot developing and growing Valor. Is like, we're not giving a rat's hat about what's going on around us. We're just trying to run a business, you know? We're trying to do our darndest and build our team and like refine all of our systems and do a great job and hire people. And then it's like, oh, did you hear XY coffee shops doing this thing that's similar to your thing, or they're opening up a new shop in this area? And you're like, huh? What? Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
And like, I got to get back to my stuff, you know?
We've definitely had a lot of that from people telling us about other instances. And that is the example of, you know, I care even less about the copying stuff. Or like supposed copying, because the only reason that our brand looks the way it does, the only reason we do so many of the things we do, is because we have copied the things that other companies have done in the past. You know, if we're talking about branding, if you go and look at my Pinterest board for my rebrand, it's a bunch of other brands. Yeah. And you look at it and you're like, okay, I understand how our brand came to be.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, same thing with the cafe. If you go and look at my Dunwoody Pinterest board, it's like, okay, this cafe has multicolored tile on the bar. This cafe has a slat wall. And it's so that stuff, the only way I look at it with all that is like the whole, there's nothing new under the sun thing.
Except yeah. Lavender vanilla.
Yeah, we totally came up with that first.
Also did not come up with that.
Yeah.
I'm getting a trademark. So
So you remember when you wanted to drop it?
Hey, I still, if the right argument comes along, it's just every day. Can I get a vanilla latte? And it just makes sense. Of course you'd ask for that. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, then you go too long saying yes and giving them lavender vanilla. And then someone has a lavender allergy. And then you're like, I just could have killed someone.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, hey, we make our own. It's just got a little bit of lavender in
it.
It's
like a 90-10 thing, like 90 vanilla.
So I would still do it. I just don't have both. It's too much.
Yeah, both is too much.
With all that, we've copied so many people. I look at it as us complimenting them. So whenever we are copied, which is rare. Which beyond that, even pointing towards our community, that we're developing, totally going to be ready in quarter one, like we've been saying, maybe April, people. Okay. Talking about like our drinks and stuff like that, we're just going to publish all of our recipes. Like I don't care about hiding anything anymore. We can put our freaking roast curves on there.
Yeah.
It's
hey, Plot put their roast curve on there.
There it is.
Their freaking logo.
There it is.
Dude, we got to copy paste that thing into the flooring.
Like decode it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, copy away is what I say. The one thing that you can't copy about us is our culture. And it's kind of just going to be that way. And hate to flex like that, but
it's not a flex. It's like make your own culture.
But you're going to have your own culture. We're going to have our own culture. And a lot of people are going to look at that and they're not going to like it. A lot of people are going to look at it and they're going to like it. Some people are going to call us a cult because we hang out.
Play volleyball together.
Play volleyball on team fun night.
They might call us a cult.
I hypothetically, you know, my team wins every game. I don't know. But hey, why can't you copy culture?
The culture is just people and people are individuals.
I guess if you hired every single person away from another company, you could, right?
Yeah, but you would.
We'd have to go too.
The leader would be
every single person. Okay. It's a buyout.
So you're just saying.
But then you're mixing with another culture. So then you have something different.
But the other culture isn't there
so
anymore.
So when Bellwood buys us out, it's like it's going to be a new thing.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like husband and wife coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
A new thing.
A new unit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the only reason any customer ever buys your product is because they resonate with something about your brand. So like they see something of themselves in you, or, you know, they like, they're attracted to what you're doing. So instead of trying to keep up with your competitor, in air quotes, instead of looking at other people and say, oh, what are they doing now? You know, maybe do we need to be doing that? Just focus on yourself and have as potent and beautiful of a culture as you can have. And that will make a sect of customers be attracted to your culture. And so I think about this, like, you know, we were at Bellwood yesterday, which is another roaster, a competing roaster. In Atlanta, and there, Joel and Charles have been on the program before, and we're buds with them. And we were talking about all of the coffees that we've both had before, like at the same time. Mm. You know, we're sourcing coffees from the same importers, which means that we have similar taste in the ones that we like. And so, like, you know, Honduras La Unica, like we both had or have that. And what is this hypothetical situation where there's a customer trying to decide, am I going to use Bellwood coffee or Valor coffee? And they are tasting La Unica at the same time, side by side, both of us. And that's how they're making their decision.
Every time. Like 100% of the time.
I think that's one way that you can debunk this sort of mentality of overthinking about competition is really playing out the scenario all the way to its end. Of like, do I personally wish that we could have completely exclusive coffees just to our menu? Sure. That'd be cool. That's just not the world we're living in. And that's not the criteria by which people decide what roaster they're going to go with. It's like, who nailed the La Unica roast better? Because that coffee is going to be gone soon, first of all. And second of all, it's way more about the culture and the partnership. So focus on yourself. Focus on building what you want to build. It's okay to be inspired by other people.
Let me ask you this. Let's say a real estate circumstance happens.
Ooh.
There's a circumstance of real estate, and we have the ability to open a cafe, ITP, near Bellwood. If we did that, are we a bad guy?
So I think the word we were putting on this, the term rude radius.
What's
your rude radius?
I was just thinking about this. So we were just there. You know, they're building all those apartments right there.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, habada, 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 habada.
What if there was like a corner retail spot?
Sure.
I wouldn't do it. Right? That's like across the parking lot, like, well, maybe 100 feet.
Okay, it's funny to talk about them, and I know that I pose them as the question. They are our friends.
Yeah. Well, guys, we were in this exact situation with what would have been our third location.
Right.
And we weren't like buds with the competitor in question, but like we weren't like not buds a little
sure.
bit.
Sure.
And we were going to do it. And then we ended up not doing it. Which I think that other cafe being there was a little bit a part of my decision of not wanting to do it. I don't think it was the main driving factor.
There's a reality just to the nearness, you know? Mm-hmm. And it still just goes back to the question of do you think that area population can support both?
Yeah.
Well, because it'd just be a bad decision for us to do that. If we wanted to open up in the next door over from Bellwood, you know, mm-hmm. it's just, that'd be like kind of a silly move. Totally.
Well, okay. Let's talk about this within reason. Like let's imagine we're where we aren't stupid. And it's like, there's enough separation to garner business and not just like be pointless.
So the city could support it.
Yes.
It's just only about the fact that the other one's there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we can't like set up a meeting with Joel and Charles of Bellwood and be like, hey guys, we think this is a good idea. We think youth should think this is a good idea. You're fine, right? You're fine. We're good, right?
We're good. Oh, we're good.
Because that's weird.
Yeah.
But
I personally, listen, Joel, Charles, we're not opening a cafe near you.
Yeah. Yet.
Get ready. Yet. I'm just like, it's business.
So you're pro.
I'm
anti-relationship and pro-business.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Your rude radius is just small. A short rude radius.
Yeah, I'm not going to open something right next to someone because it would be a terrible decision in terms of the amount of people.
Well, I mean,
To go to that area.
Yeah, our two cafes, the whole idea was like, we are so far from other specialty coffee. We want to be like the spot, mm-hmm. you know? So it's more like,
unless we open a spite store,
right?
Like in Curb Your Enthusiasm, Mocha Joe has a cafe, and then Larry David hates Mocha Joe, so he opens Latte Larry's next door, and then they both burn down.
Oh no! Whoa. They burned down.
So yeah. they got what they deserved.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Anyways, so we're talking about we're dancing around the subject of, you know, opening next door to someone doesn't make sense. So I think that's a really good segue into when competition does matter. Mm. And clearly in that case, it does. Like, let's talk about us stomping up north a little ways to Dawson County, Georgia, our roots, where our there homecoming. Is one specialty coffee shop, because coffee. Mm-hmm. They're open in a strip area. Let's say we were to open in that same strip. That would just be incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
And that is an area where you could call that, you know, a reason for not opening it competition. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. And that's, we would just never do that.
Yeah, exactly.
What are your, I have a few unwritten rules. Okay. Tell me if you agree.
Okay, you're about to write them, though.
That's true.
Speaking.
But it's like in the NFL, you know, how like the coaches walk to the middle after the game and they shake hands. It's like, that's the rule.
It's like you don't dunk if you're up 20 at the end of a basketball game.
Yeah. So I have a certain like really loose but like real mental list of companies in my mind that I would never want to like poach an employee from.
Mm.
Or like go after one of their wholesale accounts.
Mm.
Like Bellwood. If Bellwood has an account, I'm not gonna like go out of my way to try to get it.
Dude, you're weak. They do this to us. They have a list.
Because there's just enough. There's enough accounts out there to where I don't have to do that.
Like most accounts are not a Bellwood or Valor account.
Right. That's the understatement of the century. Or like if we were at Bellwood yesterday, I don't know if we mentioned that. And you know, like one of the guys behind the bar serves us and he does an awesome job. I'm not going to be like, hey man,
they treating you all right here.
you like working here, or you want to skip town to Alpharetta? I'm just not going to do that. Do you guys have any rules like that?
I mean, all we're talking about here, because again, we're talking about companies. It's funny that we're talking about Bellwood in our episode about competition, because this is not a thing or a consideration at all. But I think we're making a huge point here that we hold certain people in a certain light because of our relationship with them. And that is probably a terrible business practice, but that is just a side that's like, that's reality and that's human to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't feel that way about the other specialty coffee shop down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever. And, totally. And how does that influence and impact Valor? Who cares? Because, like, we, you know, we value what you're saying more than the potential to, you know, get an extra 40 pounds a week from an account or an employee that might be with us for a little while.
Yeah. Now 100 pounds a week, different story. Just kidding. Kidding.
I mean, for me, it really doesn't matter where someone works. Like if someone is really loving their life and loving their job, I'm never going to be like, you should quit and come work for me.
Yeah, for real.
So that just kind of transcends business, but it's like, yeah, dude, if you like this place, keep ripping it up. That's awesome.
Yeah, because you value them as a person more than you value what they could bring you. And you're
kind of crazy.
I mean, yeah, it's like, crazy. That's just human 101.
Hey, and we're all going to be owned by BlackRock one day, right?
That's right. But
they're good people, though. They're good people.
Ross, BlackRock are good people. Ross Walters.
Fun 24.
All right. Well, that's fun. We want to talk about this coffee.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I really just tasted basil the whole time.
And you liked it?
Are you mad because your wife doesn't like basil or something?
I didn't say I was mad. I just said it was a negative thing. I didn't say it was a negative thing.
I asked if you're mad. And you're not mad.
I'm not mad.
Well, you seem like you're getting mad.
I'm getting mad because you keep coming at me.
Have you guys had bruschetta?
Yes.
It's kind of like bruschetta.
Dude.
Like a fresh, herbal kind of zing.
You guys want to get bruschetta after this? Where would you go if I said, go get bruschetta? Where would you go? Where does one go?
My first thought was Olive Garden, but I just don't know if they've got that. What
about Coletta?
Sure.
At the Avalon?
I bet Colette has Giorgio's.
Yeah, coming. Yep, nice. Well, I thought the cap was super floral.
Yeah, for sure.
Geisha cap, you know what I mean? Come on.
Yep. Sorry. And this is a Sebastian Ramirez Geisha white honey from Colombia.
Sebastian's hot.
He's hot.
We're getting one of his coffees.
That's right.
No way.
Yeah, guilty.
That's kind of awesome.
There is so much information about this coffee.
For real? And
have you guys have the Cliff Notes?
Have we read that?
Yeah.
I have not read that.
Okay.
I read it on their website. Mm. Flex. I don't know. I really, that cappuccino just brings out some life in it, man.
Yeah. I think the milk just brings some sweetness to some of that really intense acidity and florality and earthiness. So, yeah. Do we want to just, while you're reading that, go ahead and grade this packaging?
Or at least the content? You guys are, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you guys are kind of haters on this sticker, but...
I didn't say anything bad about the sticker.
I told you I was going to put words in your mouth. I kind of get it. I kind of like it.
I don't mind it at all.
It's like a whole vibe, you know? Like it's all tidy and then it's like a photo sticker.
I do love this bag.
The bag is Fuego, the way that it reflects. I love their logo. Mm-hmm. I like their name.
They they must be vocabulary junkies.
Wordsmiths.
Yeah.
We've got a wordsmith over here.
They have a paragraph that is a different color on here about resting. I love that.
What does it say?
It says, if you can wait, we recommend resting this coffee for at least 14 days from the roast date before brewing. This allows the coffee to degas sufficiently so that the CO2 doesn't inhibit extraction. Rest equals reward.
That's good.
That's sick.
That's really good.
Speaking of Bellwood, I was talking to Joel about how we need to get aligned and calibrated as two local specialty coffee roasters and start putting out more verbiage on our product pages about resting coffee. So other roasters, do the same. It would only help roasting operations, honestly.
Just longer shelf life.
To be able to roast more coffees to par. And then on your website, you say, hey, when you receive your coffee, it might be up to blank days off roast, like call it six or whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't even think this coffee is optimal until 10 days off roast. So we stand by that. And if everyone started doing that, then it would just become the norm.
Who's with us?
Yeah.
I'm with you, man.
Because it's an objective truth, I would say.
Well, some would say taste is subjective.
Well, rest is objective.
Well, what do you think of this packaging?
Out of 10, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 7.
I'll go 7.
All right. Come on, give it 7.5.
That was sorry, guys. That was for content.
Oh, dude.
Oh, content's my gosh. First. We're not aligned.
Dude, honestly, for me, I'm going to go 10 on content because they've got this sick card. Yeah. And this is part of the experience.
Take it to 10.
I'll go to 10 on content as well.
Look, this coffee, and we're not saying maybe do this with every coffee. This is a very expensive coffee moment.
Yeah.
And so you want to like get that value up. Mm. And I respect that. And like that looks crazy. The goopy. Shout out to mucilage.
Thanks, mucilage.
Mm. Okay. Aesthetic. That's where I was saying 7 personally.
Okay. I'm going to go 7 as well on aesthetic.
I'll go 8. I like the pink.
So yeah, I was more of the hater on the label. I'll say it.
Why?
I just don't understand cool stuff. Probably. That's probably the thing.
Yeah, that's definitely it.
Like the Freed hats.
Right. They're doing that in like New York.
Yeah, like this is some New York
and like
stuff.
London.
It's the tracking London. The tracking of the letters that get super, super wide that kind of bump it down for me. And
you said you didn't like the picture.
I did not say that. I think Kent said that.
Oh, Kent.
Our secret fourth host in the other room.
I think Kent said that. And I kind of get it. Pictures are risky. If anything, I just have respect for it. Like to print a picture.
Yeah. Like who prints a picture?
That's,
you know,
like digital.
You know? You better have photo ink.
What I do like a lot is that the roast date is on
the label.
The label.
Yeah. We might be coming for that
and
soon.
And the roast date is in Europe form.
Yes, it is. I saw that. And I was like, to think.
Was this John roasted in June? No.
Nah,
fam.
They just do things a little different.
Across the pond.
And that's okay.
Honestly, day, month, year makes way more sense.
Yeah, because it's like, it is the blank
smallest to largest
of this month and this year.
Yeah.
What if we started flipping the script, huh?
Let's go metric. Okay. And then let's change how we do dates. Let's start a union.
Someone's got to start it, dude. Us and Bellwood.
We were at Bellwood like yesterday.
And
people are saying metric. We were there yesterday.
All right. UX.
Dude, bag rip. Deece, it did. Didn't make it all the way.
Little bit of a...
Don't worry, it's there. I love the wide bag. Wide bags are hot, hot, hot right now.
That's like a medium wide. You know, it's okay. Like, it's not like...
Yeah.
It's not like big face. Not quite touchy.
You guys are really getting under my skin.
No, I love the bag, personally.
The side valve.
Ooh.
Yeah, swag. Top left.
UX, speaking of... Hey, I would take it to a 5 because the bag is completely recyclable. So if you're talking about full UX from start to finish, that you can just recycle this and feel you get a little like...
What about the rip?
Economy badge of honor, you know?
Economy?
Environment? Ecology, you know?
You were thinking of ecology, yeah.
I was thinking about ecology.
Okay, again. But the bag rip. So are you going to go 5 or are you going to go...
4.5.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Flavor.
Whoa.
The crunch. There we go. We got to crunch this.
No, we crunched last,
you crunched
bro.
Last.
Oh, dude, it's just first on the things. I'm sorry.
I'm the host. Why don't you let me handle this?
Yeah.
Flavor. It was very dynamic or singular, depending on who's tasting it.
Flavor.
Flavor.
Mm. All right. 1, 2, 3, 6.
8. Whoa. You guys are harsh.
I mean, I don't think it's harsh. I just think.
You taste basil.
I only tasted one thing and it overpowered everything for me.
Do you feel like...
I've never tasted a coffee like this. I'll give it that.
Do you think... Did it taste like basil across the board? Like in everything you were drinking?
Not in the cappuccino. The espresso just tasted like more concentrated basil for me though.
Like a basil, like a puree or
like
something?
Like a simmered down.
Yeah.
Like a reduction.
Like a basil reduction. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. How about enjoyability? 1, 2, 3, 6.
Golly, guys. Come on.
Stop, dude.
So you
let's
like
be us.
You
liked
I liked it.
This
it.
Is your favorite coffee you've ever had.
Hey, my cup overfloweth. It's great.
Let's get this crunch.
I'm kind of scared. Basil. Good radio.
All right. Crunch out of five. 1, 2, 3, 5.
Dude, come on.
All right, 4, 4, 4, 4.
No, you can't change it. Stick with your number.
It did taste exactly like.
I thought that was a really good crunch.
Me too.
It tasted like maybe we just got the extraction wrong, didn't we?
Well, we never get the extraction wrong.
Yeah.
Look, I was scared. I was working with like 150 grams. I was like, I can't mess this up.
This coffee is pricey. No?
Correct. It's like $8,000.
Jeez.
I'm joking. Come on. Numbers. Doo.
What's the most?
It's high. Still high. After we dragged it through the mud.
The tasting mud.
40.
What's free throw?
It's one of the highest coffees we've had on the program.
Hey, when you make it a 40, we do need to have like a top 40s list, you know?
Above top 40.
Top 40, above 40.
Greatest hits.
We always say we're going to make a list and we never do.
We need a helper.
All right. What else do we have to say to the people before we sign off here?
Who do you guys want to shout out?
One shout out. We just get one shout out.
Dude. Okay. Shout out Lyndon. She's going to come work for us.
Yeah. Right, Lyndon?
Right, Lyndon. Riley's never had, you've never had like help before. Exactly. On staff help. You've kind of, Ariel did do graphic design.
Yeah.
But this person is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
As Ariel was awesome. Ariel, you're awesome.
Yes.
I would like to shout out our team here at the Roastery. We are few in number, but mighty. Luke Vineyard. Let's give it up.
Luke.
Blake Sellers.
Blake.
Welcome back, bro.
Love you, dude.
Papa.
Sam Smith. Let's give it up.
Sam.
Gabby Agan.
Gabby.
They put out a lot of coffee. And yeah. I want to tell you something right now. I hear, as the wholesale guy, I hear people ordering our coffee, like buying it.
You hear that.
You know? Ching, ching. Well, so like they're thinking about talking to us about wholesale. Mm. And before they reach out to us, they buy our coffee online just at full price.
Nice.
And they go through the whole experience of that first order, which in our first orders, we have a little surprise that people get that has, it's like an element of the human connection in that first order. And they try the coffee. They love the coffee. They like the packaging. They like the whole like personal touch and the note and everything. And then they reach out to us. And whenever you're doing volume work, whether you're working on bar or you're just slinging coffee, bagging tons of boxes for 8 hours a day or roasting tons of batches, it can get mundane. Mm. But if, you know, we're not consistent, then that person who's thinking about using our coffee in wholesale, if they don't have a good experience, then like that's kind of a ding on us. And I just want to shout out the team here for just delivering consistency. It's such a powerful thing, and it's very impactful. And if you ever, anyone out there wants to try our coffee and you're thinking about switching to our coffee or working with us in some way, then we'll just send it to you for free. But also if you want to buy it,
no,
then we're not going to stop
you. Buy
it.
It's the right thing to do. Okay.
Shut up. Hey, I want to shout out my wife. Been married for 7 years on Monday.
Hey, how about that?
Why don't you do it?
Copper. So, still going strong.
You enjoying it?
Yeah.
You guys still in love?
Yes, more so than ever.
That's such an awesome thing, man. It's rare.
Come on.
Yeah.
Got a second shout out. This guy got MVP at Frisbee today.
Hey, give it up, guys.
Dude was a beast in the end zone.
You want to get your trophy? Give everyone a closer view. He puts in the background. So does Ethan when they get it.
Well, I don't. I've been getting it too much that I just stopped bringing it in.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. This is my trophy that
now
I
looks
won.
Like I got it.
I won this trophy today.
Well, with that, we're going to close this episode out. Hey, we'll see you guys next week.
Let's pray.
Bye.